morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Praise God. Ready to go? Praise God, we all got here safe, traveling mercy, and it was really pouring, and I'm pretty much on time. So when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it, right? Today is 9/4/2022. I'm Paul Baalbek III. For use with Alzheimer's out there, and for people in, watching. And I'm going to be preaching. This is part 3 of Ephesians 3, 1 to 4. And this will be the last time on these verses. But there's some very important, I thought, that we need to look into. Because we look at how important it is to rightly divide the word, right? And what do I always say? Why we rightly divide the word? So we can apply the word, right? So, before anything, let's open up in prayer. Because it's got to be the Holy Spirit that illumines your mind and then empowers me as I teach. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise this morning, every day. And we'll be doing that for eternity. What a blessed privilege. Help us to live by faith and not sight, not focus on this world. Help us to refocus once again. Revive us this morning, Father, in your grace, through your word, and by your Holy Spirit. And help us to just see Christ in all his majesty and might and glory, sitting at your right hand and authority above all principalities, powers, and mights. And as we do that, we'll be transformed more and more into his image. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit, as always, will be the real teacher here. I'm just available to you, Father. And I pray that your Holy Spirit illumines every mind, everyone who's here, everyone watching or through video or listening through the audios. And we thank you for them outreaches and those who make it possible. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's read Ephesians 3, 1 to 4. Ephesians 3, 1 to 4. I'll give you a sec to get there. And I'm dressed down a little bit today because our church picnic, right? But we'll see what's going to happen with all this rain.
We're probably going to have it in church.
Oh, we probably, yeah? Okay, because we got that thing out there too, but whatever. It's we got good fellowship, whether it's here or at the Forest Preserve, right? And God, Christ is in us, His Holy Spirit, so we can rejoice in our fellowship. So let's read Ephesians 3, 1 to 4, and let's rejoice in this. For this cause, so Paul's saying, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that's another word Paul uses. He'll say the dispensation of fellowship of the mystery, dispensation of the grace of God. He uses different terms for that whole body of truth to the body of Christ. He calls the mystery, which is given to me for you. Again, what do we always ask? Who's speaking? Who's writing? Paul is speaking and writing. He's the apostle of Jesus Christ. Christ gave him a stewardship, right? It's from Christ. And Christ, even in his early ministry, says, whoever receives you receives me. And and they're receiving the Father. So if people reject Paul, they're rejecting Christ in his heavenly ministry. And, you know, there's different ways you can reject. You can play down Paul's role. He's just another apostle, right? But we want to see his unique apostleship. And our church knows that. We're blessed. And other little grace churches. Because, you know, most... your average Christian, say, wants to just come to church and feel good, right? They want milk and music. And, you know, it takes work to study, right? It takes, you know, the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but Christ said the flesh is weak. So it takes work to study it personally, and also it takes work to think through what's being taught. I always say, don't believe a word I'm saying unless I'm accurate in context, right? And that's anybody. You know, I don't care if it's our pastor or some TV teacher, any book we're reading by a writer. So if you've heard of the dispensation and grace of God that was given to me, Paul was given the stewardship to dispense God's instructions, promises. We only find the rapture in Paul's epistles. And then we find out about the Bema seat where we receive our rewards. And so it's given to me towards you, word. How that by revelation, something was revealed to Paul. He made known unto me, Christ, and God made known unto Paul uniquely. This wasn't known. It was unsearchable in time past, right? It wasn't known. It was hid since God created the heavens and the earth, the world, right? Till Paul. You know, he's our apostle. You know, you ask somebody, who's your apostle? Yeah, that's Paul. A lot of people would say, what, Peter? Right? Because they're going back to Pentecost, right? Which isn't the beginning of the body of Christ. And we know that. That wasn't anything new, was it? It was fulfillment of what was known, right? It was continuation of Israel's earthly kingdom program. But how that by revelation he made known unto me uniquely the mystery. That word mystery in the Greek is mysterion. It means something previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. As I wrote in a few words, whereby when ye understand my ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, there was a secret of Christ God had planned. That he was going to be head of the body, that God was going to bring in the dispensation of grace, that he was going to create a spiritual organism called the church, the body of Christ. That wasn't known. It was known there would be a church, that kingdom church. You know, anyway. So how important is it to rightly divide the word? Very, right? Time passed, but now, the dispensation we live in, and then things to come. But remember, that is the beginning understanding that you got to rightly divide the word. It doesn't stop there. A lot of mid-acts dispensationalists like mental gymnastics. It's mentally stimulating. It's not supposed to just stop here. So if you think about it, because Paul is our pattern, right? We'll see that. And for salvation and ministry, right? Did Paul just get knowledge? Man, Paul took that knowledge, and what did he do with it? He made the gospel of grace known all over the known world, right? In whatever possible way he could. He was beaten, right? He had the cat of nine tails 3 times, 5 times beaten with rods. Nothing stopped Paul. Why not? Because you rightly divide the word so you can know what you have in Jesus Christ. The resurrection power, that's what Paul went on, and we'll see that. So the focus of Paul's preaching and teaching was what? Centralized on Christ, wasn't it? Paul preached Christ. He didn't just preach the word rightly divided. He did do that, and he tells us we need to do that, right? But he centralized, Paul's whole message was centralized on Christ Jesus. And first of all, yet it's in the context of the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret in the heart and mind of God in time past, but now uniquely unveiled and manifested to our Apostle Paul from Christ from heaven, right? Just go real quickly to Romans 16:25. That way you see it for yourself. I can't stand when my pages stick to what I'm teaching. Paul writes, "Now to him," so God, that is of power. That's dunamis, man. That's where we get the word dynamite. God is infinitely powerful. You know, how big's your God? How strong's your God? Mm-hmm. Your understanding of God, should I say, because there's only one God. You know, how much do you understand the depths of his love? See, the more, if we understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of the mystery, we're going to understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of that deepness and intimate, unconditional love of God. You're loved unconditionally, praise God. And we sure don't deserve it, do we? Yeah. The legalists think they do. They think, you know, because they're not smoking and drinking and chewing, you know, tobacco or not going with girls that do, like the old saying, that, you know, they're, you know, God owes them. I'm serving you, Lord, you know. But no, nobody deserves God's love. What do we deserve? God's wrath. What did Christ do? He suffered our death, our punishment, our wrath. So God will never punish us. He'll discipline us through the word. Our scripture is profitable, right? And it's, you're going to get the most profit when you rightly divide it. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. That's discipline. That's the same word as discipline. So he says, now to him that is a power to establish you. How? According to my gospel. Paul's unique gospel. Believers are not established if you don't understand Paul's unique gospel. You don't understand how to rightly divide the word, and you don't understand in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and mystery. If you want to be established, and you know what that means, right? To have a strong, unmovable, where you don't quit, spiritual condition, where you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, you're magnifying, and your life is adorning the gospel, that even unbelievers, not all, most probably won't, but boy, they notice something you got. But you know, we remind them of something. We remind them they're spiritually dead. We remind them that there's a God in heaven, that if they keep on rejecting this wonderful offer of salvation as a free gift, that one day every knee will bow, right? Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we remind them, see, those who really recognize they're honest sinners like me, when they said, you got to recognize you're a sinner, hey, I know what I am, you know. And that Christ died for sinners, and trust that Christ died for your sins. He was buried, he rose. I said, that's all, God, I can do that, you know. And we remind them, but there's life and death. There's consequences one day. So they don't like to think about that, you know. They like to think about at funerals like, oh, they're going to become a butterfly now, you know. Or they go from one energy into another energy, right? I heard Mary's sister had said, I read something at her brother's funeral, that how energy cannot cease, but it gets transferred. So he's just become around us now. No, that's nice. That's nice thought. You know, I remember my sister said, the day my mother died, there was a hummingbird, I think, or a butterfly right by her window. And she'd go, I know that was Mom. And you don't be ignorant, you know. Right then, that ain't the time. Later, I could tell her, D, you know, we don't come back as butterflies or cockroaches because you were bad, or a butterfly because you're good, right? It's pointed on the man wants to die and then the judgment, right? For unbelievers, that's a terrible judgment, because they'll be judged by their works, and if their word, if their name isn't written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. And we don't want to see anybody, so that's why we share the gospel, and the right gospel. Repent and be baptized for remission of your sins was a past gospel. Nobody, and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ain't that Acts 2:38, where most of the church wants to go back to? But then the Baptists don't want to, they don't want the signs and wonders, right? Oh, it's just a testimony. That ain't what Peter said. That was required in their program. Ours is what? You're saved by grace, through faith, not of ourselves, not anything we can do. It's a gift of God, not a works, lest anyone should boast. So, we see here, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and what else? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That's what establishes us. When you truly grasp and understand that, and then you know Christ as when you're really growing and you're studying and you're asking God, illumine my mind so I can grasp not only what it says, but what it means. And when we're focused and we know Christ, I was thinking about him, you know, how he's seated at the right hand of the Father on the way here. And, you know, he ain't the suffering servant like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That was him. He came in weakness, right? And he challenged Satan, if you look at a prophecy about him in the Old Testament, who will contend with me? Come on with it, devil. And the devil looked and said, he's just a man, and I am like the Most High. And he gave him everything. His demons and the dogs, of the bulls of Bashan, they were attacking his mind. His body was being, he was so beat up. And Satan gave him everything he got, and Christ absorbed it. And Christ also absorbed all God's anger against sin, our sins. His righteousness, indignation, sin offends God, and God poured it on Christ in our place. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become, praise God, the righteousness of God in him. It's because of what Christ did. See, and I think of him now, seated at the right hand of the Father, high above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, right? And in his glory, our mouths are going to drop when he comes back in the rapture. When we see him as who he is, you know, it's just going to, we're going to be in such awe. Mm-hmm. And then, boy, will we readily, see, unsaved people might not want to bow before him, but they will. Will gladly bow before him. My Lord and Savior, head of the body of Christ, right? And so, go to 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Again, these pages. Why don't they make a thing where you can just separate pages quick? What? Did they? Yeah, it's called a Benny Hinn formula. Speak forth to that page. Got to have some humor in the morning. Paul says what? Hold fast the form of sound words. That means spiritually healthy words, which thou hast heard of me. Paul's telling this young pastor, hold fast in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. See, that's what happens when the Word of God works in you. When we're depending on Christ, His Spirit is producing fruit. What's going to happen? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And love, right? We're going to love our wives when they don't deserve it. The women are going to respect their husbands when they don't deserve it. We're going to love them kids when you want to wring their neck. Right? And when they don't do what you know they should do, you're still going to love them. You're not going to say it's okay. But you're going to say, I'm here for you. And I always will. I might not agree with what you're doing, but I love you just like God loves me. And that's how God loves you, but infinitely more. See, our lives, the way we apply grace to our lives, it's going to affect those around us. And he says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So that whole, you see where he says, hold fast the form. That's the idea, that whole body of truth that Paul taught Timothy. And then what did he do? He told them to teach faithful men and teach faithful men. But something happened along the way. Men stopped being faithful. And we can be like that. You ever find yourself in the Bible? Where, hey, I don't want to, you know, make waves. They'll think I'm a hyper-dispensationalist, extreme. You know, they'll think I'm weird. And I want them to love me. Right? Instead of, I want them to love Christ and know Him according to the revelation and the mystery. And so, when men and women, I will say, if we don't hand down sharing with other believers, sharing with our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews, everybody we can, the mystery had been, God's always had a small remnant in every dispensation, you know. It's usually not the majority that follow God and His truth. And if we don't hold on to it, if we don't reach out, I see Grace Churches. I was talking to, what's his name, from Bible Doctrines Live By, and we were talking about, he said, yeah, I see a lot of gray hairs in a lot of Grace Churches. You know why? They're not doing outreach in their communities. So they're not reaching the lost and bringing them in, edifying them, and then teaching them that they might teach others also. See, it's all our individual privilege and responsibility to do this in our personal lives. And so, what I want to say is, we can rightly divide God's word. Right? Accurately. And we can see the distinctions He's made, right? And we should. Correct? Oh, but you're waiting. You know there's something. I see. Like, what's it? It's going to come. And we can understand all the charts and comparisons. Look at the chart back there. We can understand all them facts. And we should. Because we got to rightly divide the word accurate, right? But if that's as far as it takes us, just have nice conversations that intellectually stimulating and that people see how much I know about the Bible. Right? But if our understanding only goes that deep, the distinctions, we're missing out on the heart of what God wants to teach us through His Word rightly divided. What's 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study. Okay, that's first things, you got to study the Word on your own. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, just like our fathers in real life, especially if you had a good father, you want to make them proud. Right? You want to even be like them. You know, if you got a hit in a ball game and dad's clapping, it's like, you saw that, Dad? You saw that? My dad's proud of me. And so, we want to study. We want to study not just to know facts. We want to study to know Christ. And not just to know Him in His earthly ministry, in His heavenly ministry, and who He is in us. We have Christ in us, right? And that's a Christian life. Christ gave His life for us at the cross, right? For our sins. So why? He could give His life to us through the resurrection. And then why? So he could give his life to us. So he could live his life through us. That's when you're getting there. Now you're understanding why we rightly divide the word. You're understanding the whole substance of then Paul's epistles, where he drives us complete, points us to Christ and who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. How do you walk under grace and the dispensation of grace? You go to Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, right? And so study to show yourself proved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed when people attack you, because God's not ashamed of you when you're sharing the word rightly divided. Need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's so important. That's a key that helps. You know, the Bible seems contradictory when you don't rightly divide it. It says this here, like Paul says one thing, James says one thing, Paul says it's by grace, it's not by works. James says, if there ain't works, you know, you ain't got salvation. Well, James is writing to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul writes to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. No contradiction. Two messages to two different groups of people, right? So it's so important. But I want you to see something. We need to do that, but let's go to Titus 2, 11 to 15. When you really start maturing, I'll tell you, you know, what's taught, and I used to be, a Pentecostal, you know that, like charismatic type teaching. And it was taught, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. No, it's not. What's the evidence of being filled with Spirit? What's fruit of the Spirit? The very first word. When you're loving. Because God is love and He's our Heavenly Father, right? We're His children. As dearly loved children, imitate God, Paul says, right? In Ephesians chapter 4. Right at the end. So, grace, as I always say, we ain't truly grasped grace. You might understand facts about grace, but until it gets a hold of your heart. Because when it gets a hold of your heart, you're going to do what Titus 2, 11, 12, I'll read all the way to 14. I wonder sometime if, you know, Sunday school's early, if I'm a little too much for some people in the morning. You know, like, some people are not morning people, right? Like, I used to, not so much no more. I used to wake up in the morning and I'm ready to go, man. You know, and that's how I am when I get into the Word, you know, I get passionate. But, you know, some people are like, slow down, I got to get that second cup of coffee, Paul. You know, but anyway, I never want to be not passionate when it comes to teaching or preaching God's Word. Not just up here, but even in my life, my personal life. So Titus 2, 11 and 12. So you want to know what grace be about? As we'd say in the streets. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. See, we're saved by grace through faith. Not of herself, it's a gift to God, not of works, right? When you heard the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? So it bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What's Paul talking about? On the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, when Christ appeared to him. Paul says he was a pattern for those who would believe thereafter. As a pattern in salvation, completely saved by grace, Christ's worst enemy, right? And so that's when it appeared to all men. Before that, in Israel's program, Isaiah, if you look in 53, I think it's verse 8, we're not going to go there because time. Isaiah said he died for my people. Who's Isaiah's people? Israel. See, it was always Israel's first in that program. But here now, it appears the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men. It's for all men. God desires all men, Paul tells us, to be saved, right? And he says, and not only that, grace teaches us. What's God trying to teach us by his grace? Keep reading. Teaching us that denying, saying no to ungodliness. Why? We want to be like our Father. You know? Why is it wrong to lie? When you teach your kids, why is it wrong to lie? Because Oscar said it's wrong? No, because God cannot lie. God is faithful. Why should we be faithful? Because God is. He's our Father. We want to be like Dad. He's our Abba, our Papa. The Holy Spirit reminds us of that. And so it's because God doesn't lie. So we don't want to lie or be. God's not deceitful. So we don't want to be deceitful. God's faithful, so we want to be faithful to our wives and to the message that we should be preaching, be faithful to Christ. Teaches us denying unworldly lust. And what else does it teach us? To live soberly, clear thinking, righteously. Live in the right way. There's right and wrong. There's an absolute standard for right and wrong, isn't there? It's the Word of God. I posted some on Facebook. Parents, teach your children, stepchildren. I got stepchildren. I've tried to teach these guys. Bring up a child in the way he should go. When he's older, he won't depart from it. That verse don't mean you're guaranteed they'll get saved. What it is, that right and wrong, that absolute standard, you're teaching them God's Word, sticks in their conscience, and they know right and wrong. They might choose sometime wrong, but they know. Because if we don't teach our children, if we don't teach our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Satan got a course for this world, and he'll teach them. And then you'll wonder later, why did they get into this lifestyle? Why did they fall into drugs? Why are they staying into drugs? Why are they in sexual immorality or whatever it might be? How did they get into this cult or false religion, man-made? How? Because they weren't taught this Word of God. And again, it's no guarantee, but at least they have a standard. And that's, you know, when I was a kid in Utah, we went to church for 3 years. I wasn't saved. I had never trusted in Christ. See, some kids don't realize they're as bad as sinners as adults. You know? Because you think, what have I did? Like somebody told me, how can you preach at senior citizens' home? What can they do that's wrong? They ain't having sex or, you know, whatever. They ain't doing drugs. But it's not that. We're born in Adam. We got this rebellious nature. And that's why it's a sin nature. And that's why we rebel. And we need to be saved from our sins, right? Christ died for our sins. I remember telling my little niece when she was a little girl, I would, you know, take her for rides and with me when I'm riding and stuff in my car. I put a little thing on my temp speed, and I was telling her about Streets of Gold. It's in heaven right now, ain't it? And I go, don't you want to see them Streets of Gold one day? She's like, yeah. Yeah. And I'm explaining different things. And I said, but you know what, Melissa? She was only 5 years old, man. But I said, there's a problem. We sin. And sin separates us from God. And I says, do you think you sin? I said, do you ever lie to mommy? You ever disobey mommy? Have you ever stolen anything? Or, you know. And I said, but Jesus died for sinners. And if you'll trust in that, you're guaranteed heaven. And, you know, I didn't think she was a believer for a long time, to tell you the truth. Even early in college, she you didn't hear her talking much about God. It was more, you know, you get in the head and blah, blah, blah. She's impressed with very educated people. But now I see she shares on Facebook with her friends. Now she's more into the Word. She comes to my Bible study on Thursday nights a lot of times. And I see that she did trust in Christ that day. But she wasn't into the Word. See, we're transformed, what? By the renewing of our mind. Where do you get your mind renewed? In the Word of God. So as you rightly divide the Word of God, you're studying it, the Holy Spirit starts using it, so we start thinking more like God. And we stay more focused on Christ. And the veil of legalism, performance for acceptance, I ain't talking about, we're saved on the good works. God wants to do a work of faith and labor of love in our lives. He didn't just save us so we could, sit on a cloud and, you know, chill. He saved us. He gave us resurrection life so we can serve Him, so we can glorify Him, so we can be used as tools, as members of the body of Christ, as vessels of resurrection life, with that dynamic of the Holy Spirit taking the resurrection, the dynamic of the resurrection, and reaching people through us. That's meaning and purpose, baby, for life. Every morning, every moment. And so this is what grace teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right here, where we live in our personal lives, in our sphere of influence. And then, what do we stay focused on? Looking for that blessed hope. We know we suffer here, don't we? But Paul, he's our pattern, right? And he so much thought like Christ because he was so focused on Christ. And he was in the Word himself. And Christ was revealing things to him until he revealed to him that whole body of truth, right? And as he did that, he just wanted to serve God. He was so grateful. He knew he didn't deserve it, right? He called himself the chief of sinners. He was in the lead, boy, against persecuting that kingdom church, right? And so he says here, when we're focused on Christ, and we realize, like Paul said, we live by faith and not sight, right? We're going to go through things in life. You're probably going through some things. I'm going through different things. There's struggles, spiritual struggles. You want to apply the Word of God, you fail. You know, that's why it's so important to understand the finale of the cross, right? You don't got to keep your focus on your failures, but focus on who you are in Christ and then walk again. What'd Paul say? I forget the past, right? I don't dwell on my failures, and I don't stay there saying, oh, look at how God, what we used to do. He said, no, man, he presses on to that high calling, right? The mark of the high calling. And what is that? Christ in you expressing himself out of you. And it's knowing that you're going to be rewarded for everything you go through. Every pain, emotional, physical, every persecution. And what does Paul say? He's our pattern, remember that. Our light afflictions, when compared to the weight, light afflictions, weight of glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise God. When you keep your focus on that, you realize life is like James. Oh, you want to come with the Satan? Got a bead coming up. I'm just fine. Bad that Satan. No. Oh, my old Pentecostal coming back out. Anyways, let me get back to this. So looking for that blessed hope and the glorious, like remember I said, our mouths will be dropping when we see Christ in all of his glory. Of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Are you putting yourself there? From all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Israel used to be his peculiar people. Who's this peculiar people today? He's writing to the body of Christ. You are. You're peculiar. You're special. You're different than the lost people in the world. They're in darkness. You're children of the light. And we're not better than unsaved people. We're just better off, right? You think about it. We're already citizens of heaven. We're guaranteed heaven. And anything we face in life, we have Christ in us. Satan tries to distract us and get our minds off of that. That clock is not working.
No.
What time is it?
It's not quarter to eight.
No, it's
I kept looking. Okay. So we got till 10:30?
Yeah,
no. Oh no, I still got a couple hours according to that clock. You know, when we go to Bowler, I tell them, because you know, when you don't do it all the time, even here, I don't always preach every week, film in for the pastor, and you forget what time, and I go, so what time do you guys end? And they tell me, just take as long as you want. I said, you people are crazy. Tell the preacher that? So, anyway, go down, so, 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What makes us peculiar too? Zealous for good works. If grace ain't causing you to want to serve God, then something's wrong. You know, if it's just causing you, and you should be thankful. I thank you, Lord, I'm saved. But we're saved to serve. Not just to exist. Not to waste our time. What does Paul say? What to do with our time? Redeem it. You only got so much. Are you going to be alive tomorrow? Can you guarantee me?
No one knows.
So, if you knew you were going tomorrow, what would you be doing today? You know, somebody asked me at Cook County Jail that when I used to go to that ministry, are you afraid? Like, what if you got killed in jail? I said, I never thought about it. And then I thought about it. Next time I saw that person, I said, you know, I thought about what you said. And as I thought it too, I thought, to be absent from the body, dead, right? Physically, to be present with the Lord. And I would say, Lord, I'm teaching about you. That's what we'd be doing. We'd be doing, you know, it's like, don't wait to get in till your last week of death and you're in the hospital, you know, you're dying in a week. Oh, I want to invest in eternity. Do it now. Redeem your time daily. So again, Paul's our pattern. Go to Colossians 1:25-29. And I got to be closing out. And I want to read you something that I wrote. Now we're all pretty familiar with this passage, right? That it was given to Paul. He's a steward of the dispensation of grace, right? And Paul completes the Word of God. With his scriptures, you had Genesis through early Acts. Then you had Hebrews through Revelation. That's about Israel and their program. But there was no scriptures, no understanding of what God's doing in but now. But Paul's epistles now complete the Word of God. We know what God's doing in his heavenly program for us. And we also know what he's doing in Israel's program. And what God has separated, let no man bring together, right? It's two different programs. But anyway, starting in verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. See, the dispensation in mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. See how Paul has different terms? Here he says, according to the dispensation of God. That's a dispensation of grace. Which is given to me for you. So we understand this, right? And we should understand this. But let's keep reading. Which is given to me for you to fulfill, to complete, perfect, complete the Word of God. Paul's epistle is completed. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and generations, it's never revealed until Paul. But now, I love Paul's but nows, but now is made manifest to his saints. That's the body of Christ, to whom God would make known. God wants you to know something. He wants you to know that and keep reading, because some people only think it's about understanding how to rightly divide the word and all those things. But God wants us to know more. He wants us to know Christ not only as our Savior, but as our life, where He lives through us and touches others, to whom God would make known what is the riches of this glory of the mystery. There's spiritual riches and understanding. Paul warns us in Colossians 2:8, right? Beware lest anyone spoil you, rob you of understanding those spiritual riches. What you have in Christ, you're complete in Christ, he says. Among the Gentiles, listen to this. The riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles. And what does Paul focus on here? Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. You know what our glory is? Christ to live out of us. That's what I glory in. When Christ is using me. And how about when he's using you to touch somebody's life? I glory in that. Because we are created for that purpose. For God in us. To be containers of His Spirit, right? Spirit of Christ. And then Christ to express Himself out of us. And he says, the hope of glory. Whom we preach. Who did Paul preach? What's the focus of his ministry? The preaching of Jesus Christ. See, it's Christ. But according to the revelation and the mystery. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So mature. Now listen, it's very important, this last verse, because sometimes people get that. You know, we got to understand, Paul's our apostle, and got to rightly divide the word, and it was given to him. Well, yeah, but this is part of that truth. Whereunto I labor. Paul didn't just win the pew warmer. He labored. He poured his life out, he said. Wherefore I also labor, striving. You know what striving means? Struggling and contending. He was struggling and contending against the dark forces, right? The kingdom of darkness. And Satan, you don't think he came against Paul? Well, if he did it to him, he's going to come against us. But you know what Paul says? God delivered me from the mouth of the lion, and he will continue. Praise God. So he says, I labor striving according to what? His working. He's talking about the dynamic of Christ's resurrection and the Holy Spirit producing as we depend upon Christ. He produces, he makes it real in our lives. Some Christians never get to that. You know that? They know him as their Savior, but not as their life. And that's what we want. Look at Paul. He's our pattern. And striving according to his working, which worketh, that word means energizes, in me mightily. You know what that means? Powerfully. Paul depended on Christ. He says, I live, yet not I, right? But Christ lives in me. Paul didn't depend on his own strength, and we can't either. But always remember who you are in Christ, and you can do all things through Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this message would actually maybe wake us up. We need to be revived daily, Father. Revived in the energizing power of your living and powerful and active word. And we need to just remember what we're here for. Remember, keep focused on Christ, and that it would cause us, in view of your mercies, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holding except on the you, which is a reasonable, logical act of divine worship. When we serve you, Father, we're worshiping you, and you deserve it. And we just thank you for them opportunities when you use us, Father, to touch people's lives. In Jesus' name.